Hello and welcome to the Southampton audio programme for the game against Middlesbrough. In today's issue, we hear from your manager, Russell Martin, an update on the Southampton's women's team, and as usual, your feature interview. Dear Saints fans, it's great to be back at St Mary's today for this Sky Bet Championship game against Middlesbrough. It's been an unusual period for us. It's not normal to have 3 weeks without a game, especially in a league as relentless as the Championship. But this time has allowed us, as staff, to take a bit of time to reflect and look ahead to the run-in. For the players, many of them have been away on international duty, with some playing really important high-stakes games for their countries. Big congratulations should go to Jan Bednarek on his qualification for Euro 2024. That'll be a fourth major tournament in a row for Yanni, which just goes to show what a top player he's been for his country for such a long time. And he's still young for a centre-half at 27 years of age. We're very lucky to have him. It was a shame that Poland's victory in the final had to come at the expense of David Brooks and Wales. Brooksy was incredible in the semi-final, and it was special to see him score such an important goal. I know how much it means for him to play for his country, and it's amazing to see him performing at that level after everything he's gone through in his life. For Stewie to get his 50th cap for Scotland is another great success story this week. I actually played with him on his debut. As a teammate, I could tell straight away what a good footballer he is. The way he carries the ball, how smooth he is with it. He's been a top player for every team he's played for, so I'm really pleased for him. I can't name all of our internationals because everyone's been amazing, but to see our young trio of Sam Amu-Amyor, Tyler Dibling and Jade Magoma help England's under-18s lift some silverware really put a smile on my face too. They're all top talents, but more importantly, they're humble young men who want to learn and get better. As a club, we should be very proud of them and excited for their potential in a Southampton shirt. It's been a long time since our last game, the 4-2 win here against Sunderland. I didn't think there was any doubt that we deserved to win that day. My only frustration was the way we had to do it. I felt we had full control of the first half, but should have made more of our chances from open play. We just needed a little bit more conviction in front of goal, and we would have been 3 or 4 up. We had spoken before the game about Sunderland's ability to score from outside the box, so I was annoyed that 2 long-range goals allowed them to get back into it at 2-2. We had to find a way to win, but the players passed that test with another tremendous display of character that has been the hallmark of many of our victories this season. The subs had a massive impact once more, particularly Joe Rothwell, whose 2 goals helped us pick up 3 really important points. He's an amazing ball striker, Joe, and there's no one you'd rather see arriving in the box when the ball sits up on the half volley like that. Today we welcome a Middlesbrough side in good form under Michael Carrick, who have been really impressive away from home this season and are firmly in the race for the playoffs. We know to expect a tough game as always in the Championship, but we're excited to get back out there and pick up where we left off before the break. The Easter weekend always feels like an important time in the season, but there's still such a long way to go and so much more football to be played. With 10 games to go in the 5 weeks that remain, building momentum is going to be vital for us. And that starts again today. We march on. An update on the Southampton FC women's team. Saints Women nominated at Women's Football Awards. Southampton FC Women have made the Best Club of the Year shortlist at the Women's Football Awards for the 2nd year in a row. Saints' final place among the esteemed elite at the awards, Europe's biggest competition for women in football, will be decided by a public vote. The Best Club of the Year category celebrates professional football clubs who have shown commitment to improving the landscape of football for women, while investing and working to improve participation and inclusion in the game over the last year. Saints have earned their place in the category alongside some of the biggest sides in the WSL and a handful of fellow Barclays Women's Championship clubs. We are also delighted to see our partners at Starling Bank have been shortlisted for Brand of the Year, and their kick-on project has also made the list for Best Grassroots Initiative of the Year. The Women's Football Award celebrates all levels of the game, from grassroots greatness to the superstar players on the pitch, with the star-studded awards ceremony taking place in London on the 30th of May. The Women's Under-21s to host April trials. Southampton FC Women are continuing their recruitment for the 2024-25 season, looking for world-class, developing players to join their academy. The academy consists of under-14s, under-16 and under-21 squads and play at the highest level of academy football, with the under-16s and under-21s being part of our FA Category 1 licensed pro game academy. This season has seen two professional debuts for 17-year-olds in league and cup competitions, with academy players now training regularly with and alongside the first team. Now, the club are looking for new and exciting talent to join the girls and women's academy for next season, with trials by invitation taking place on the 9th and 11th of April at the Staplewood campus. Interested players should complete the online form found by searching trials on the club's official website. The under-21 side play in the FA PGA under-21's midweek league and cup competitions over the season. Training takes place at Staplewood campus throughout the week, including all day on a Friday and Saturday with additional midweek evenings. We are committed to supporting our young players in their education as well, with a requirement for all players to be in education until 18 years old, with a clear educational plan after that. Players in both further and higher education are encouraged and supported. We have excellent relationships with local education providers, schools, colleges and universities to support whatever educational journey our young players undertake alongside football. It's now time for the feature interview, and this week we hear from Saints midfielder Joe Rothwell. Lightning doesn't strike twice. It does for Joe Rothwell. Saints king of the brace and master of the volley is Staplewood's sweetest ball striker, whose exploits off the bench have already earned Saints 4 points in the promotion race and provided St Mary's with some moments to savour. Hectic, brilliant, enjoyable, just three of the words that come to Joe Rothwell's mind as he recounts his first 2 months at Southampton, with more twists and turns still on the horizon. Since arriving from AFC Bournemouth in the middle of January, Rothwell has barely had a moment to pause since jumping into the midst of a relentless Sky Bet Championship promotion race. From walking through the doors at Staplewood to making his debut just 5 days later, it's been a whirlwind start to the midfielder's life at Saints. However, for a brief moment outside the training ground changing rooms during the international break, he had time to assess his spell before a few days of well-earned rest. "I've really enjoyed it," Rothwell calmly reflects. "I find it really easy to settle in, obviously knowing a few of the lads in here before, but they've made it really easy for me along with the staff as well. The way the gaffer wants to play, that was a big pull for me, and obviously I wanted to come and be a part of that. It probably took me a couple of weeks to get used to how he wants me to play, and I think it didn't help that we played games every single week, or twice a week I should say, but I feel like I'm there now and I understand my role." Rothwell's settling in period, or lack of, perhaps set the tone for the grueling campaign he entered, as he had to get up to speed for a substitute cameo against Swansea less than a week after his arrival. With a shift in style to adapt to, and a promise from Russell Martin that he is going to have his brain fried for a week or two, Rothwell entered an intense education before his full debut followed in the Emirates FA Cup against Watford. "We need to hit him with every bit of detail that we can. We'll coach the life out of him in here and out on the training pitch," Martin explained when asking about Rothwell's welcome. "It was a bit like that," the Mancunian midfielder laughs in agreement. "I would say I was just trying to pick it up in the games more than anything. Obviously, watching the lads who were playing, trying to get an idea of them, and speaking with the staff, showing me clips here and there. It probably took a couple of weeks, but I feel like I'm there now. The Swansea game came at a good time because it gave me a chance to do it on the pitch. It's a lot easier to do it on the pitch than it is in training. I then managed to get a good hour in my legs against Watford, and obviously it wasn't quite where I wanted to be, but it was always going to take a bit of time. As I say, it's slowly but surely, and I think we're there now." The payoff seemed to be worth the hours of coaching, though, as Rothwell shared a sentiment that his new teammates have for playing football the Martin way. "I think you can see on the pitch it's effective in the way we play. It's not just pointless possession. There's always a reason behind a pass, and ultimately, you want to score a goal at the end of the day. The amount of goals we've probably scored that started with Gavin finishing in a goal, it just proves that it works." Then, in his fifth game for the club, just over 3 weeks after joining, Rothwell's headline moment arrived as he unequivocally announced himself to the St Mary's faithful. After entering the field just over a half an hour into the encounter against Huddersfield as an enforced substitute for Flynn Downs, Rothwell occupied the midfield as Saints conceded twice before half-time. Staring the end of the club's record and beaten run in the face at the break, it took just 5 second-half minutes to put things back on track. A Stuart Armstrong corner was punched clear to the edge of the box, where Rothwell was stationed to hit a thunderbolt back into the top corner and give Saints life. As if he hasn't been forced to relive the goal enough already, he nonchalantly describes that strike one more time. "I've said it from the start, it was one of them. As soon as I hit it, I've not had to watch it go in because I caught it as sweet as I could." I've given it a quick glance, seen it going towards goal, and I knew it was going in. I think I was gradually getting up to speed by then. Obviously, goals do help, and I think the style of the goal probably helped a little bit more as well. I'd say I was close to it before the game, but I'd probably say scoring that goal and getting another one not long after really helped me. Indeed, just a minute later, he struck again to draw Saints level and send the home crowd into delirium. It was brilliant, he recalls. Obviously, I think that stage in the game as well, it was a massive goal for us to get us back into the game. I think the roar was probably louder for the second one than the volley, and it just shows how vital the fans are going to be for us now in this run-in. Rothwell collected the league's Goal of the Month trophy for his howitzer of a strike, and more importantly, Saints turned the game around to extend their unbeaten run to 25 games. It wasn't to be the last time the midfielder struck a quick-fire brace, however, as he helped Saints to another thrilling victory at the beginning of March, scoring twice in 3 minutes to seal a 4-2 win over Sunderland. Is there a secret behind the number 19's off-the-bench exploits? Nothing more than remaining focused and ready to be called upon, it seems. Obviously, you're not going to play every game. So the games you don't play, you've just got to be ready when you do come on, he says. Luckily for me, I've already had a couple of games where I've come on and managed to grab a couple of goals. I wouldn't have said there's anything that's caused it, but watching a game when you're on the bench is a big part of it, knowing what's needed when you come on. You can probably see a little bit more from the sidelines than when you're on the pitch. There's certain things that happen in games and you think you impact moments there, so when that opportunity arises in a game, you're ready to take it. Vital contributions from the whole squad will prove key as attention returns to the league with just 10 games remaining of the Championship campaign. It's already a season like no other for the sides at the top of the table. As Rothwell attests, I don't think you'll see the numbers that the four teams that are up there are putting out again. It's brilliant to be part of, and hopefully we can come out on the right side of it. Already settled into the group without a hitch, it's the unity within the squad that the Saints loanee highlights as an important factor for the final sprint. I've said it recently, it's probably the tightest, closest group of lads that I've been around. A bit of adversity on the pitch doesn't affect us, and we can rally together, he explains. I think we've shown it in a few games this year. We can come from behind and win. In the last 10 games now, everyone's going to be needed, and we're all going to have to stick together. You're always going to get dug out by people, and if something happens on the pitch, one of the lads will probably be the first to tell you. But they're obviously just trying to help you, and it's massive that we're all on the same page until the end of the season. And finally, let's get the local lowdown. We asked opposition expert Craig Johns, Middlesbrough reporter for Teesside Live, to preview this afternoon's encounter from the visitors' point of view. How would you rate Middlesbrough's season so far? On the back of such a strong run last term, after Michael Carrick's arrival, many had tipped Borough to be strong promotion contenders. They signed 12 largely younger players last summer and have gone about developing them and laying stronger foundations from which they can build. But undoubtedly, in a season heavily impacted by injuries, they have been too inconsistent and at times frustrating as a result. But with an excellent Carabao Cup run to the semi-finals and some strong league performances, including a double over Leicester City, there's been enough good to be optimistic about the future. Borough are coming into this game in good form, with 3 wins and a draw before the international break. What's contributed to the upturn in results? A couple of factors. The first being a slight change in formation. Michael Carrick is a modern head coach who doesn't particularly see the game like we would traditionally as far as tactics are concerned, and therefore he hates this discussion. Rather than traditional positions and numbered roles, he looks at each individual more in terms of what space on the pitch they can exploit or need to be in particular moments. But without doubt, a big factor in Borough's upturn in the 4 games before the break was the formation switch, which saw Carrick deploy 3 centre-backs as opposed to 2, therefore having a more natural third centre-back as opposed to the previously preferred tactic that would see one full-back sit in when Borough had possession to build up attacks with a 3-man defence. The switch has ultimately served to offer better balance in the side based on the current options available, with Borough a little too expansive in the weeks prior to that and too easy to counter on, as they lack the prolificacy to negate their vulnerability to the counter. On top of the change in formation, they've also started to get important players back from injury. The return of Emmanuel Latelath, particularly important because before that, they'd been playing for much of 2024 without a recognised centre-forward. Only the top four have more away victories than Middlesbrough this season, and last month saw Borough win at Leicester. What makes the team more effective on their travels? There are probably multiple factors to this one, but perhaps the most glaring is their inability to unlock defences who play with a low block, as seen most recently against Blackburn. That's been particularly highlighted at the Riverside, where many teams have done their homework and looked to sit deep, stay compact and block Borough's route to goal, safe in the knowledge that Borough will usually leave themselves open to a counter-attack or two at the other end. When Borough go away from home, however, by virtue of naturally wanting to rouse their home fans, sides have been less likely to play with that low block, and it's therefore left Borough with a few more gaps that they've been able to exploit. How do you see the game playing out? After the Blackburn game, Michael Carrick made an interesting claim that it was time for Borough to let loose in the final eight games, if they were to have any chance of pushing the top six hard in their remaining games. It'll be interesting to see whether in saying that he hinted at reverting back to his more attack-minded, fluid 4-2-3-1 formation, or whether he sticks with a more conservative 3-4-3 that has served them well in recent games, with the letting loose coming more in terms of mentality than tactical approach. Well, I can see goals in the game for both sides. I ultimately see Southampton having a little too much quality for Borough. While Borough won the reverse fixture, it came early in the season, as Southampton still looked to be getting to grips with Russell Martin's style. The results since then have ultimately proven Southampton's quality and why Martin's faith was correct. Thank you very much for listening to this Southampton audio programme. Enjoy the game.